Like to call to order this meeting of the Board of Supervisors. Today is February 3rd. It's 9 a.m. We will start with the pledge, and then if everyone could remain standing after the pledge, and we will have an invocation by Pastor Dave Kerr from Trinity United Presbyterian Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chairman, for the privilege and opportunity of praying over the proceedings of the county. I apologize for being underdressed this morning. No disrespect. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of gathering together to be able to look at the business of this wonderful county. God, we thank you for the supervisors that you put into position of authority that are making decisions this day. Would you bless them and encourage them? And most importantly, would you give them wisdom? God, we pray for all those that are volunteering and working in and through this county and for the great citizens of this county. God, in the midst of this time that we find ourselves, would you give wisdom, guidance, and directions? And for this county, God, we pray your blessing that you would pour out in abundance your blessing upon those that come and go and the workings that takes place in our wonderful city and county. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Kerr. Next up, we have it's February 2015, is African American History Month here in Stanislaus County, and we have a presentation from Frank Johnson, President of the NAACP, Modesto Stanislaus Branch.
Good morning.
Morning, Frank. Good morning.
Thank you for this opportunity once again to speak on the African-American Black History Month. A lot of history has been spoken, but very little about the youth, the young children of slaves. What did they do? Did they play games or were they laborers? A lot of that history hasn't been printed. And yet, those children of slaves grew up, and became parents of some of the greatest leaders, athletes, songwriters, scientists that have led this country into another era. And oftentimes I think, like the children, as they lay down and they go to sleep, I was wondering what was going through their minds.
I have a dream today. I say to you today, my friends, and so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hope these truths will be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day, on the land hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will one day be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day, down in our Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream that one day, every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, all the rough places shall be made plain, and the crooked places shall be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out the mountain of despair, a star of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the genuine discords of our nation into a symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, and stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And this will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the hiding alligators of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the crevaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last."
Out of the mouth of a 10-year-old, History 101.
On behalf of the NAACP, Ja'Kai Nichols, for your leadership role among the youth, you are and shall be the next president of the NAACP.
One more to you. Chairman Terry Wicker.
Can you come down there?
Yes.
Frank, well, that was great. Good to see you. Thank you. And Ja'Kai, is it?
Yes.
Ja'Kai, I have a speech I want you to read for me. That would be great. That was great. We got to see Ja'Kai at Christian Love Baptist Church, I think, on Martin Luther King Day, and just did a great job here, so very good. So on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, we have a resolution for you here, and this is our proclamation of February 2015 as African American History Month in Stanislaus County. And we thank you, Frank, for everything you do.
Thank you. And on behalf of the NAACP, presented to Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for your continued support in cultural awareness. Present.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
that really is a tough act to follow there. I want to thank you all for being here today or watching it at home or online. It's an honor to come before you and deliver this year's State of the County Address. It's a good thing for all of us at times to look back at where we've been, to take account of where we are, and to look with hope to the future, and that is my goal here today. I'd like to start by acknowledging and thanking a few people, my fellow board members. I've learned so much from each of you over the last 4 years, and I am honored to work with each of you. I'm very thankful for our Chief Executive Office staff, our Clerk of the Board, all of our department heads who run an incredibly professional and efficient organization, and most especially our rank and file employees who power the engine of Stanislaus County and without whom nothing would be accomplished. I'd like to offer a special thank you to our Sheriff's Office and all of the public safety agencies working throughout our county. The work they do to keep our county safe and secure is the most basic and essential function of government. Anymore, our officers not only fight crime, but at times need to act as social workers, relationship counselors, and a whole host of other community service functions based on our societal challenges. For all they do, I again offer my sincere thanks and pledge of support. Most importantly, I want to thank my wife, Kristen, and our 4 children, especially our youngest, Emma, who is a senior in high school. They have sacrificed much during the last 4 years, and I thank you for your love, patience, and support. I look at my daughter, who is here today, and I see the amazing gifts within her character and her potential for the future and how she will help to make the world a better place. And my wife and I feel very blessed. Emma, stand up here for a second. That's Emma. Thank you. I have to point out which was Emma. A lot of times people think Kristen is one of my daughters too. Get some points here for that. I'm also going to just say a quick thing for my son, who is about to head off on a trip with his team to Nigeria later today, so we have him in our prayers. I see a great need to show our young people that we care enough to lead by example, that when we recognize the need to act, we are willing to act. I tell you, the challenges faced by the youth of our community can be immense, and in some circumstances, almost inconceivable. I firmly believe every child in our community should be able to hold fast to the hope of a bright future. I'll speak more of that in a few moments as I look toward the future of our county. Today I am pleased to report that the state of our county is strong. We have been able to weather the Great Recession and the sluggish economic recovery that followed. We didn't get through this just by good luck. This county has been blessed by highly competent staff and fiscally strong and conservative board members who have historically planned for economic downturns, even in the best of times, allowing us to weather the storm. As we continue with our sluggish recovery, we should never lose focus of creating prudent reserves to protect us when the economy declines. Planning for an economic downturn should never stop, as a recession is historically seen every 8 to 10 years. The very type of planning that is used in the private sector, which is our multi-year financial planning, has allowed this county to appropriately expand and contract our services as our tax revenues ebb and flow. I am pleased to say that in the midst of a slow economic recovery, we have completed negotiations with our 15 labor unions and have begun to restore the pay cuts which our employees courageously accepted to help the county balance its budget. These are not only symbolic agreements, but also very practical agreements to help recognize our employees and their sacrifice. I am proud to report that our board priorities continue to be strong and represent the foundation of how we serve the community. Let me briefly touch on each of these. A safe community. After several years of reductions in staff due to the recession, we now are aggressively pursuing the hiring of new deputies and the restoration of critical public safety positions. With the challenges we have been faced with regarding Assembly Bill 109, prison realignment, causing the increase in our jail populations and the monitoring of probationers. Our county has stepped up with multi-departmental cooperation. As a result of the work of our capital projects team, the county has been awarded over $120 million in state funds, and we are the first county in the state to be under construction on our AB 900 Major Public Safety Center expansion. This project will allow us to expand our jail capacity by 480 maximum security beds, a 72-bed medical mental health facility, an intake and intake, release, and transportation facility, and a day reporting center. Important, modern, and safe facilities for our staff, the offenders, and the public we serve. We are also in the process of building a new coroner's facility by reusing an existing building on the County Center 3 campus, right across from the existing coroner's operation in Modesto. A healthy community. Mental illness is a serious concern in our community and across the nation. I want to recognize the efforts of the Board of Supervisors, Chief Executive Office, the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, the Mental Health Board, our local hospitals, and law enforcement for their efforts to fully implement the 24/7 Secure Mental Health Service Strategic Plan. We had three goals: the development of a new psychiatric health facility that opened in March of 2013, with capacity for 16 patients in crisis. The second was the creation of a discharge team, which has produced excellent outcomes. And the third was the development of a crisis stabilization unit, which is now in the final design phase and will reuse a vacant wing at Ceres Recovery Center, which will complete the continuum of care plan. Additionally, the county has partnered with the counties of Merced, Calaveras, Mariposa, Madera, and Tuolumne on a crisis residential facility. The new 16-bed facility will be located in Merced and is funded through an investment in Mental Health Wellness Act of 2013. Crisis residential programs are an option to avoid psychiatric hospitalization and improve services to those in need. In total, the continuing efforts of the county and its community partners to provide appropriate treatment and care to residents with mental illness are exceptional. I am the board's representative on the Mental Health Board, and I have seen firsthand how important these efforts are to our community. And remember, in addition to improving the lives of our citizens, all of these capital investments are made with the expectation of a return in the form of lower costs to the county by reducing services needed. Also, significant inroads have been made in the community's ability to access health care through health care reform. Since its implementation in January 2014, thousands of eligible individuals have enrolled in covered California Medi-Cal expansion and now have insurance. This has made a huge impact on the county's safety net. Last year, we had only 8 medically indigent adults. This is down thousands and thousands from years past. A strong local economy. The government can't create jobs, but it can help promote a business climate that encourages successful business recruitment and retention in our community. The county has streamlined its permitting process and offers a one-stop shop to meet the needs of businesses looking to expand or locate in our county. We want to cut through the red tape. One Stop does just that. The county also works with local partners in business recruitment and retention efforts and was instrumental in a collaborative effort to land Hillmar Cheese in Turlock, Restoration Hardware in Patterson, and Organics Botanics in Modesto. By working together, we can accomplish great economic growth in our region. This past year, the county and the Alliance partnered on several projects, including a local procurement program where local businesses learned how to more easily work with government, and an effort which educated more than 300 local businesses on how to come into compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Effective partnerships. The board continues to focus on strengthening our partnership approach. Every county department is encouraged to partner in their business and service approach to maximize public service outcomes. Each year, we recognize two outstanding partnerships involving the county departments that embodies the county's vision to be the best county in America. These partnerships exemplify what can be accomplished when dedicated individuals come together to find creative and innovative ways to achieve exceptional results to serve our community. This past year, the Effective Partnership Award was awarded to two collaborative efforts that are really making a difference in our community. The first is the Community Service Agency Extended Foster Care Partnership that assists youth who leave the foster care system without a family or safety net, and has created an opportunity for these foster youth to develop lifelong connections that can have a positive long-term effect on their future. The second is the Stanislaus County Affordable Care Act Implementation Partnership, which was recognized for the efforts of the Community Service Agency, Health Service Agency, and Behavioral Health and Recovery Services to ensure a seamless transition of care for the uninsured residents of Stanislaus County to coverage and benefits available under the nation's health care reform. We thank the participants in both of these efforts for their creativity and great benefit to our community. A strong agricultural economy and heritage. We are an agriculturally based economy. It's who we are, it's what we are. Last year's farm gate of approximately $3.6 billion is a staggering number. If you take in consideration the multiplier effect, this industry contributes between $12 to $15 billion to the economy of Stanislaus County. Other counties would love to have this size industry. We need to celebrate and promote it by protecting our best farmland and fighting to maintain sustainable water supplies. We cannot expect to grow by dismantling the industry that got us here. That being said, we also can't be adverse to new industries that can help our economy be more diverse and prosper, possibly complement what we already have. A well-planned infrastructure system. At a bare minimum, we cannot expect our existing industries to be able to grow and stay in this county if we do not have sufficient infrastructure to allow their goods and services to move efficiently in and out of this county. And without this infrastructure, we cannot expect to attract new industries. The county currently has three major regional transportation projects in various phases that will address these issues. The North County Corridor is an east-west expressway serving directly the communities of Oakdale, Riverbank, and Modesto with interregional connectivity to promote goods movement and safe travel for our entire community. State Route 132 is a critical east-to-west corridor with history of safety concerns and traffic congestions. Our region has taken the lead on implementation of the segment connecting Highway 99 to what eventually, as funding becomes available, will go all the way to Interstate 5. The South County Corridor has recently taken a significant step forward with the start of a feasibility study. This study will determine if there is a suitable route connecting Interstate 5 and State Highway 99 in the southern portion of Stanislaus County, and if so, if it can be funded for construction. Efficient delivery of public services. This year, our CEO has asked our departments to stand back and evaluate the service delivery models through the eyes of their customers. This assessment is to include everything from ease of access for services to asking if we are operating on the right days and hours and how we can more efficiently use technology. Our goal is to allocate our resources in a manner that reflects the needs of the public we serve. Departments utilizing creative solutions to improve the service to the public will receive priority in the allocation of available county funding. Fostering partnerships. Stanislaus County is continuing to work hard to strengthen our relationships with its nine cities. We look to support development within local cities away from prime farmland. We believe that prosperous and successful cities make for a prosperous and successful county. Our county and city governments need to cost effectively deliver services our taxpayers are funding each year. But we need to stop fighting over which agencies receive those tax dollars and focus our energy on making sure the taxpayer is provided with the best service. Our region, and I will add this is not uncommon among government entities, at times will experience infighting and competing for the same monies. The reality is that federal and state funds are finite. While competition is good among the private sector, we in the public sector need to collaborate at every opportunity. We are partners and cannot act as competitors. A good example of how well we work together is the North Valley Regional Water Project, where the county, the cities of Modesto, Ceres and Turlock, and the Del Porto Water District are working together with state and federal officials to access funding for this important project. And I have numerous other examples like this. But I also know that in local government, we are not perfect, and there are times when our collective actions are not as noble as they could be. I encourage all government staff and each elected official in local government to keep our eyes on the ideals that can be realized through local governance. Let's listen more to one another and sometimes talk a little less. Let's listen more to our important most important customer, the public, and let's continue to strive to do the best thing for the public and not just benefit our own individual agencies or agendas. And while we're on the subject of regional cooperation, let's talk about water. And this is where I get to get a drink of water. We are all here today, and our county has grown and thrived as a result of the vision of our forefathers. As a result of their building dams and conveyance systems, water, our lifeblood, was brought here. With it came the certainty of a fairly constant supply, something that most counties in the state would love to have. In fact, therein lies the problem. As this great state has grown, so has the demand for water. Powerful interest groups have looked at us with envy for years, but they are no longer just looking. They are now pursuing taking some of our water. As we are entering into what could be the fourth year of a drought, we find ourselves in a position this region has never had to deal with before. Not only do we have decreasing groundwater levels, but our ability to recharge our aquifers with surface water is being threatened. The two go hand in glove. Surface water from our rivers allows us to reduce our reliance on groundwater pumping, while simultaneously recharging our aquifers and making them available in years of less rainfall when the surface water is reduced. Over the last year, our county has worked hard on groundwater issues. We have put in place an ordinance that deals with maintaining sustainability of our region's groundwater. This was done faster than most counties in the state and ahead of legislation passed recently by the state. Our ordinance was created as a result of an unprecedented partnership and collaboration of irrigation districts, city water agencies, private sector farmers, and well drillers. It's a perfect example of us working regionally to solve our own issues. Unfortunately, that is only half the problem. As I said before, groundwater doesn't exist without surface water to recharge the aquifer. As I stand here today, the State Water Resource Control Board plans to require an increase in the flow rate of the Stanislaus, Tuolumne, and Merced rivers by amounts that could lead to the loss of hundreds of thousands of acre feet of water to our region. This is not just a problem for irrigation districts and the farmers who deal with it. The reduction in water to our region could have significant economic impact on employment, family farms, local business development, land values, our tax base, and the very foundation of our agricultural heritage. The true potential impact of this water grab is staggering. For a region with historically twice the nation's unemployment and starving for some good news on the job and economic development front, this is daunting. The ultimate downstream effect of the water grab is a reduction in tax revenues to all agencies in our region, impacting areas such as local services like public safety, education, causing higher unemployment and crime, and a great burden on public assistance. So on one hand, we have legislation from the state telling us we need to manage our groundwater better. On the other hand, the state is about to virtually eliminate our ability to manage that groundwater by taking away substantial amounts of our surface water. This is our forefather moment. We must negotiate, not as individual agencies, but as a region, to arrive at an amount of increased flows that will be acceptable to both the state and local entities. I would like to now talk about a topic near and dear to my heart. It involves the concept of refocusing our government resources and treating the disease and not the symptoms. This is a topic which goes down to the core of our community and our families. Let me start by telling you the tale of Scott. 2 weeks before Christmas, around 11:30 at night, I received a text on my phone saying Woodland Fire Department was responding to a call on our street where we live out on the west side. Fearing something had happened to one of our neighbors, I jumped in my truck and headed out. I found our fire chief, Mike Pasalagua, with his lights on, sitting behind a little SUV that was leaning over, stuck in a field. Mike said the man driving was very drunk. The man driving the truck was very drunk. Didn't know where he was or where he had been. Had almost hit a house and a couple cars before he finally went off the road. As Mike was questioning him, he saw a boy in the back seat. He asked the man, "Is that your son and how old is he?" The guy replied, "Yes, it is, and he's about 16 or 17. A small voice then came from the back seat and said, "Dad, I'm 7. One of our deputies and a highway patrol arrived. We spent the next 2 hours trying to figure out where Scott would go that night. We all wanted to take him home, but we knew that's not the way it works. Eventually, a grandparent was found. I went home, didn't sleep much the rest of the night, and wondered what was going to happen to Scott. The next day, in a meeting with our CEO and staff, I relayed the tale of Scott. I asked, based on historical data, if we could come up with different probable life path scenarios for a young person like this, and the cost to the county of those scenarios. Within a week, they did. Please realize these are general scenarios for illustration purposes. The best outcome involves Scott having a strong role model in the home who provides stability, allowing him to thrive, and he goes on and gets a diploma and possible college degree or takes on a trade. What I call the tragedy outcome for Scott involves no strong role model at all, instability at home, and Scott eventually working his way into our criminal justice system. Two things are going on here in the tragedy outcome. One is the heartbreak of the wasted potential of a child in our county. The other is the cost of that tragedy outcome. For the county to care for Scott in the worst case scenario over the next 10 years, it's projected to be over $750,000. Now let's take this one step further. We have approximately 9,000 kids who are Scott's age in our county right now. Let's say 50% of those 9,000 kids come from a broken home where one or more of their parents have abandoned their parental responsibilities. And of those, let's say 10% end up in our worst case scenario. That 10%, 450 kids, equates to a taxpayer cost of approximately $343 million over the next 10 years. $343 million. And this doesn't even consider the additional cost incurred in the education system. If these numbers seem extreme, please understand that over $750 million of our billion-dollar budget this year will go towards treating these symptoms and what often starts at a child's early age. This year, our county has embarked on a paradigm shift in how we look at this issue. As a new board member 4 years ago, I was amazed at and made the comment that we in government seem to spend all of our money treating the symptoms without ever treating the disease. This is where we spend the overwhelming percentages of our state and federal funds. In fact, a lot of the times, our treatment of the symptoms seems to facilitate the spread of the disease. We have good people with the best of intentions trying to band-aid these symptoms. But in the end, they've been limited in what they can do, and the disease continues to grow. Too many of our children come from broken homes. These kids end up in our county system at an early age, working their way from child protective services to foster care to juvenile justice to adult detention to the public defender to the district attorney, not to mention our health system. This has to stop, and it's time to take a new approach. Our plan is called Focus on Prevention. This is not a new government plan that we're going to throw millions of dollars at. It's actually that mentality that got us into this situation. Over the years, we as citizens have stepped back and assumed that government will solve our social problems. Well, that has failed, and we need to now reverse that mindset. The county will serve as a facilitator to convene this process. It is the community that will need to step up and lead. We will begin the community transformation process in four areas critical to the quality of life in Stanislaus County: homelessness, strengthening families, youth early intervention, and reducing recidivism. The goal is to develop capacity within the community to embrace this approach and champion this effort. We will ask for the participation of 9 sectors or pillars of our community: faith-based, media, arts, entertainment and sports, nonprofits, education, business, neighborhoods, philanthropy, and government. We will start this off with 4 convenings dealing with each of the 4 critical areas. This will not be a quick fix. This is a long-term solution that could easily take 10 years or more before we start to see results. But those results could dramatically transform our community. We have a legal obligation and duty to the taxpayers of this county to be good stewards of their funds. I believe this board is fulfilling that obligation to the highest degree. We have an ethical, moral, and I would say divine obligation to the children of this county to ensure that they have all the opportunity this great country has to offer. We are a board willing to make difficult decisions. We are a board willing to lead. We are a board with vision, and we are a board willing to stand tall and, if need be, take some arrows in order to do the right thing. Now is the time to help change the course for the future of our county. The cries of our young people cannot be ignored. The plight of the homeless cannot be sidestepped. And the death of the family will not be accepted. Let the arrows come our way. We will stand firm. There is too much at stake for our community. It is our time to step up and change the path for this county, this state, and this country. Out of respect for those who came before us and for the sake of those who will come after us, I thank all of you for being here today. God bless you. We'll call the meeting back to order. I think Vito is coming back here in a second. Now is the time for a public comment. Anybody who wants to make any comments, I don't have any public comment cards here, but anybody who would like to say anything that's not on the agenda here? Do we have anyone that would like to speak? Emerson. Okay.
At least give me 20 to 25, okay? Good morning, gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. Emerson Drake, longtime Modesto resident. Great speech, sir. And the kid was just marvelous.
Was.
Trying to memorize that. I got through about half of it once myself. In any case, because my time is moving forward. You mentioned water, so that's what I wanted to talk about today. You know, sometimes in Stanislaus County and MID, in particular, you have to peel the onion back a few times. They did two programs this last fall to help the farmers out. One was a buyback program where you could basically sell your water back to MID and then they would put it on the open market at the same price, not trying to make money, but for the farmers that needed it. Then we had two people that came forward, two of the directors that really pushed the farmer-to-farmer program, and that's where ostensibly, if you had some outlying parcels, or you wanted to fallow one, or you wanted to transfer water, you could do that. Great idea. But it couldn't believe how hard these two men pushed for it over and over again. So they did a public record request trying to find out who participated in this program. And needless to say, almost, I received 90 redacted pages with only totals at the bottom. Well, these totals, the vast, or two-thirds of them are 15, 20, 12, 8, obviously small farmers transferring their water from one parcel to another. But we had some amazing ones in there, over 200, 202, 200, 180. Now, people don't realize 200 acre-feet of water. So let's stand, since it's the Super Bowl, let's stand at the 50-yard line, and let's take a glass wall down the sideline, down across the end zone, excuse me, the goal line, we want to be accurate, and up the other sideline. So let's fill it 10 feet of water. You're looking up now. That's 10 acre-feet. Over. That area represents 9/10 of an acre-foot, okay? So let's stand in front of the double tree and look to the top of it, extend our glass walls up. That's 15 stories. That's a lot of water. But that's not 200 acre-feet. Let's put another 7 stories on top of it, 220 feet high, the size of a football field, and that's 200 acre-feet. That represents about $80,000 worth of water. We had one farmer, one man, who participated in a minimum of two of these of over 200. Quantities of 100, quantities of 80, quantities of 75. If you work the numbers, it's somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 worth of water. Now, how can someone have that much spare water, you ask? That's a good question. Well, and I did share the original public record request with Modesto B, and then I shared another one when we requested a water contract with a particular farmer here in Stanislaus County. There's only one man, one individual in this entire county that has the right to take water out of the canal for free. Unlimited quantities as it flows across his property. Virtually unlimited. If it gets to him, it's his. So he doesn't have to. He can sell the water that he's supposed to be able to buy from MID at a profit because of these two directors. They call themselves the City Boys. The biggest pusher of this was John Mensinger. The second one was Paul Campbell. They insisted that we need this to help the little farmer. Well, it's amazing when you can turn around and sell the water that your acreage can provide, that you're allotted by MID, at a considerable profit, $13 versus $400. Not a bad deal. And you can take all the water coming down the canal, because you're at the end of it, and pump it virtually for free. Let's go with literally for free. And I shared that water contract with the Modesto Bee. Because, you know, most people aren't aware of this. So in 1983, Bill Lyons had a contract signed in front of the board. As a matter of fact, Roger Van Hoy, the general manager of MID, said, you know, it was done in public, Emerson. It was no big deal. So you talk to John Kidd, who was the chairman that year. He says, well, you know, if we had three people actually there at any one of our meetings, the word had gotten out that somebody was bringing donuts. That's what they call a public contract, to give that kind of thing away. Now, since I'm running out of time, we're going to talk about one other thing. It's amazing to me that our greedy people in this country, or in this county, get away with this. MID's got a power-up deal right now. It's ostensibly for people that can't afford. You get your power shut off, this is a way to get it turned on. You can put $40 down, $60 down. And if you take about $850 or 850 kilowatts, that's the average use, okay? That's somewhere between $125 a month for electricity. But if you use two times that, the graph goes like this. It's a wash at 850 kilowatts. So I'm going to say, anybody that uses a lot of electricity, I'm going to save you some money here. I think this is worth the next 10 seconds. So if you use 1,000 or 1,200, your costs plummet. Because they don't add there's no additional fees. You know, if you use over this amount, you get charged that. If you use over this, you get charged more, and you get charged more. None of that exists. It's on MID's website, and they claim it's going to be revenue neutral. Well, a retired manager there, Lou Hempel, said, no, it won't be. And I'm going to show you why, because he was going to be among, and I appreciate this man. He was going to be among the first people to go in and sign up for the program to show how much money he can save himself. So if you have, if you pay a large electric bill, your electric bill is $350, $400 a month during the summer, look into MID's Power Up program. And who's going to pay for it? The little guy. Thank you very much. I apologize for running off.
Okay. Thanks, Emerson. Okay. Any other public comment? Very good. We'll move on to the consent calendar. Is there any item that anyone would like to pull from the consent calendar? Do I have a motion then to approve the consent?
So moved.
Motion by Supervisor Monteith.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Chiesa. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Moving on now to B3, approval of financing plan for the Public Works Maintenance Shop and Administration Buildings. Mr. Machado.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Eisen, Mr. Doring. I'm Matt Machado, Director of Public Works. And with me this morning is Colt Essenwine. He's our Deputy Director. The item before you this morning is the Public Works Maintenance Shop and Administration Building Reconstruction and Parks Relocation Project. We're quite excited to be here this morning for this project. This is a project that's been many years in the working, so this is a big milestone, and we're excited to present it to you today. A quick note before Colt gives a detailed but brief presentation. In the board report this morning, you see that there's a reference to our master plan. And the master plan was done about 5-6 years ago, and it talks about phasing. And you know, it was an early document. But what we've been able to do, and this is the good news, is is that we've been able to push both phase one and phase two into this current project scope. And that's exciting for us. And not only have we been able to push them together, but we've been able to push them together for about half the cost of what the original needs assessment had envisioned. Additionally, the phase three that we had envisioned way back when is probably not going to be needed. That original needs assessment had envisioned our staffing growing by a considerable amount. Today, we don't see that happening. We don't see the need for that. We think that the project before you today is the ultimate project for many, many years to come. Now, I wouldn't say forever, because forever is a long time, and there probably will be a need in the way out future, but we're excited to bring this project. It's at a much lower cost than originally envisioned, and it'll serve our county for many years to come. So with that, I'll turn it to Colt to discuss the details of this exciting project.
Thank you, Matt. Again, before you, is the Public Works Shop Administration Reconstruction and Parks Relocation Project. As Matt said, we are very excited. This project's been 7+ years in the planning. Back in 2008, this board approved a budget which included a needs assessment for the Morgan Shop. And that needs assessment found that nearly all of the facilities at Morgan Road are aging and becoming increasingly less functional, especially the heavy equipment shop and administration engineering building. This site was constructed in 1958. Most of the buildings are now dilapidated, containing lead and asbestos. The heating ventilation systems are failing, needing repair annually. Dry rot, leaking roofs, you can see from the pictures. That's from our recent storm this year. Concerns with lobby security and the fact that the shop does not meet our CNG servicing requirements. Here's some more pictures. If you see the first picture, that's our lobby. Any more than one customer, and it's standing room only. To the right, that's the restroom in our shop facility. If you can see the stall in the back, it's painted pink and padlocked. That's the women's restroom.
Within the men's restroom.
Within the men's restroom, yes. The master plan was adopted by the board in 2010. This project includes some redevelopment at the Morgan site, the design of the shop and admin building, some improvements to the household hazardous waste site, and relocation of parks to County Center 3. Included in the redevelopment is better management of our storm drainage, better ingress and egress access from Morgan Road into the site, improved and expanded public and shared parking. Today, the public parking is about 7 to 8 parking stalls. Does not meet today's need, and improved site security.
Here's a picture of the aerial photograph of the site today with the new shop and administration facility overlaid on top. You can see the expanded parking facilities and the expanded shared parking facility for household hazardous waste and public works there in the picture. The design of the shop and admin building include a CNG-compliant expanded heavy equipment shop facility. What that means is we'll be able to actually work on the almost 70 CNG vehicles we have today inside the shop. Today, to meet California state regulations, those vehicles must be worked on outside of the facility. We're expanding the heavy equipment shop. We also are including the capability to work on our transit buses. Today, store services under contract all of our buses. However, we don't know what the future holds, maybe 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Maybe one day Public Works in Stanislaus County will maintain those buses. Male and female restrooms with showers and locker rooms. A modern, efficient administration facility is included. The improvements that we've done and are doing to the household hazardous waste site include domestic sewer lateral that was installed with the Park Lawn project this summer, improved water service connectivity, again, a larger shared parking facility, better circulation, and better access for the public to the household hazardous waste facility. Parks relocation includes centralizing the operation. Today, at the Morgan Road site, there is a small annex or satellite site, if you will, for parks. They do some work on their mowers, and they assemble some of their park workers there and dispatch from that location. We're going to move that and co-locate it with the existing parks operation at County Center 3. We're going to relocate an existing Public Works triple wide trailer to the County Center 3 site. And the GSA General Services warehouse there, they've now increased their efficiencies and they only need half of that warehouse. So Parks is going to take on the other half of that warehouse and use that space. In all, their space will increase by almost 50%. Here's an image of the County Center 3 site, what it looks like today. The orange hatched area, that's the existing park shop. The red hatched area there over the warehouse is the area that Parks will occupy next to General Services. And the smaller box off to the right, that's where the triple wide trailer will be located. And General Services staff and Parks staff will share that as offices. Total cost of this project is almost $16 million. That's the relocation of parks and the construction of the new facility and site improvements. We're proposing funding for this project, $2 million from congestion mitigation air quality, almost $7 million, more than $7 million from Morgan Shop and Road and Bridge Funds, public facility fees for growth, $2.6 million, and an internal borrow up to $4 million. That internal borrow will be paid back over a term of 5 years from road and bridge funds and a transit TDA claim. The schedule, should the board approve this action, will be the parks relocated up through May of this year, advertising the project in May with a construction contract and notice to proceed out in July and September of 2015. While the total construction of the buildings and site improvements will take up to 18 months, we anticipate occupying the new building in November of 2016.
Additionally, just a reminder, we have three recommendations for you this morning to approve the finance plan for the project, which includes up to $4 million of tobacco endowment funds to authorize the use of PFF fees in the amount of about $2.6 million and to approve park shop relocation from Morgan Road to County Center 3. With that, I'll turn it to the board for any questions you may have.
Any questions from the board?
I have one.
Supervisor Chiesa.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the funding sources, I understand the congestion mitigation, the Morgan Road shop, public facility fees, and the internal borrowing. Road and bridge funds, how are you able to borrow road and bridge funds to pay for shop, or what's the connection, the nexus between it?
Between
the road and bridge funds. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that money? I mean, is that money that's supposed to be allocated for repairing bridges?
So that is our primary source of funding is our gas tax, and the gas tax, an eligible expense for that is the maintenance facility. And so everything we do at the Morgan Yard, our admin, our shop, maintenance of vehicles, all of that is going towards our road maintenance efforts. And so, you know, without the staff to have a place to park equipment and vehicles, then we wouldn't be able to maintain the roads. And so there's a direct connection there.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Just a couple comments, Mr. Chairman. First of all, this plan makes so much more sense than what we've been doing and plans in the past that's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars away on modular units. Although staff report talks about crammed environment of our employees, remember it was our choice to do that. Well, maybe not this board's choice, but it was the choice to do that, take them out of a good building and move them out there. And that didn't make sense to me at the time we did that. I would like to challenge our county to start thinking of new buildings a little bit differently and start requiring the sinking fund of a maintenance fund. Buildings should last more than 40 years. My house is more than 40 years. I think a lot of people's buildings are more than 40 years old. But we tend to not properly fund the maintenance of buildings. And I'd like to try to change that culture. And then lastly, I just want to comment on the bus maintenance portion of this. And I know there's reasons of why we're building a building that could handle the size of a bus. I just wouldn't want to come to the foregone conclusion that we're going to take that away from private enterprise because one, government cannot do it cheaper. And two, 20 or 30 years from now when we might take it on, the regulations are going to be different that what we built today is not going to make sense. So while I'll support building a building big enough to house those buses, I don't want to put that in place that's our idea. So those are my comments. I will support this today because it makes sense for the master plan in a permanent building rather than wasting it on modulars.
Okay. Any other comments? Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd say I'm going to support this today. I've been out there a number of times, and it is time for an upgrade. We have a lot of buildings and facilities in this county, and there's I know these were built at a time when probably the population of the county was 150,000, and so now there's a lot of vehicles, and it's just time to build new buildings now, last into the future. I have a question on this household hazardous waste. Is that still going to be kept there?
Yes.
You're not moving that to the County Center 3 area?
No, that's correct. It'll stay there permanently as far as we know, as far as the master plan spoke to it, yes.
Mm. And what is it from the Parks Department that you're moving over to County Center 3? I know that there was a repair shop for the lawnmowers. Is there anything else that has to be moved out of there? You say you're moving the Parks Department out of there.
Mainly the building that's there was an assembly room for some of the parks workers. I'm not sure how many employees or staff they have housed there, but they had about 16 vehicles, mowers, and the shop there, and that's what's being moved over there.
Okay. Would there be sufficient room over County Center 3 for all this?
Yes. In fact, there's 50% more room that they're in total that they will gain at the consolidation at County Center 3.
Okay. Can you tell us just a little better what it is we're moving out of Morgan Road? I've been out there a number of times, and I don't remember very many much in the way of facilities out there.
We do have quite a bit of storage there of our equipment, so we also do some of the maintenance, and it is an assembly, a point of assembly at the beginning and the end of the day for many of the staff that work in the community parks and county centers portion of the department.
Yeah. You're okay with moving out to County Center 3?
Yes, I think it will allow us to be more efficient, consolidate that unit in the department all in one location.
Okay, that's all I have.
Any other questions by the board? Any questions by the public? Jim, come on up. Come on up to the...
My name is Jim Panetti. Did I hear you say something about permits for like $2.5 million? Was there any permits, any money for permits?
There was $2.5 million, Jim, for the funds that were coming from public facility fees. Is that maybe what you're thinking about that was going to be used to help fund this?
Maybe that was it. I'm sorry. I agree with what you're talking about there, you know, about building a building that lasts 40 years and that's it, you know, and to put millions of dollars into it, construction. No, I think it ought to last a whole lot longer than that. And not that you have to build it like a, you know, a vault or something like that, you know, to maintain it, but, yeah, better construction. Anyway, I don't have anything in mind. But thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Any other comments? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. We'll look for a motion.
And I'll move for approval of three staff recommendations.
Moved by Supervisor DeMartini, second by Supervisor Chiesa. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Correspondence.
This board has received from the West Stanislaus Resource Conservation District the 2014 Annual Reserve Monitoring Report for the Crow's Landing Naval Base easement regarding the natural resources on the agricultural property related to the Crow's Landing Naval Base.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Board of Supervisor reports. Supervisor Chiesa.
Excellent job today giving your State of the County speech. It's always a nerve-wracking deal. Excellent. Good vision. I think you captured exactly what the board is thinking.
Thank you very much. Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Also, I congratulate you on the State of the County address. Our new initiatives, I think, were coming up here very well stated. I had a one thing here on the west side. I've mentioned it before, but the grand opening of the dialysis center in Patterson has opened officially. We had the grand opening this last Thursday. I didn't know that at the time of our last board meeting. This is going to take care of the people who have dialysis on the west side where they don't have to go to Modesto or Turlock anymore. It's really a great step forward into improving medical facilities on the west side. Thanks to Keystone Corporation who stepped up to that and developed the center to serve the people in that area. Also, just one comment. Last week I went out to the new Coroner's facility, which is under construction, and it's coming along fine. It's got a ways to go, but it and seeing what they were going to do out there and how it was going to come together, I think this is going to far better serve our community than what we have now.
Thank you. Supervisor Monteith. I'm sorry, I thought you...
No.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Let's go to Legislative, Fiscal, and Management Report.
Yeah. I'd just like to say, Chairman, excellent job on the State of the County, as others have recognized, and I have no report this morning.
Very good. Thank you. And then announcements. I guess we have a Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors workshop Friday, February 6th from 10 to 2 p.m. at Greens Market. If no other business, this meeting is adjourned.